I'm Paul Hankins.
And welcome to another On the Air with Power Squared, a weekly behind-the-scenes look at what we hope will be everyone's favorite comic book, Power Squared. This week we have our second guest. We had a guest last week. This week we're having our colorist, Julia Cannon. Hey. So happy to have you here.
Good to be here.
Good. So part of this is a podcast and part of this is on Twitch. So some of the visual stuff may not be that interesting on the podcast. But, hey, I'll live with it. I thought we'd talk a little bit about your process.
So you get sort of
inked pages that Rachel's finished, and I assume you also have a color guide, and we were talking earlier about new characters and all that, right?
Yeah, so in the beginning of everything, you guys gave me like a full-on PDF of all the color guides of any scenes and like continuing characters that are there throughout the entire like story. Mm-hmm. So like, is it okay for me to pull that up? Or?
Sure.
Okay, one moment. I thought I opened this earlier. I guess I was wrong. So, in the beginning of everything, you guys gave me like a color guide that the like glass colorist like made.
Well, this is so, actually, she added on to it, but yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so yeah, like it'll show like any characters that have been been going on for like the past. What was it? You guys have like 12-ish or 12 plus issues.
Yeah, we're on it. Well, this is issue 15 we're working on, but yeah. You came on board in class 2, 13.
Yeah, so any colors that are needed, like that are most important, they're on here, and then I just take a color thing here, which is pretty interesting for Clip Studio, which is the program I'm using. So sometimes, like, to make things a bit easier, I personally I made myself like a little swatcher here, so it's just easier to grab it from the program itself. But what's pretty cool about Clip Studio, if like any of you guys out there like do like this on the like do this like on the regular, is if you double click on the little color swatches here and you click the little droplet right here, you're actually able, you can't see it, but you're able to grab like other color samples from any other monitors or stuff on your screen, because I have like 3 monitors, so I'm able to like grab colors. So you guys can't see it, but like there's a desk here. So if I grab the color, you're able to grab the sample, and bada bing, bada boom, you got yourself the color sample to use on the program.
Okay.
So for this one, dealing with this issue 15, it's a bit different because you guys gave me also a shading guide. Because like I guess like everything like is a bit more precise this time around, which is fine. So what I do is I'll take the line work and the shadowing that assuming Rachel did as well.
Rachel does tells you the shadowing. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So what I do is I'll take both of them. So I'll take the original line work and create it as its own little Clip Studio file, and then I'll just like drag the shadowing and put it under, and then in order for me to like color over everything, I used to put it up to multiply, but that started being a problem with me considering there's a lot of effects in this comic where sometimes the line work has to be done as well, like in a different color, and sometimes that limits you. So a thing you can do here, which like anybody who has this program can do at home, is let me take this off of multiply real quick. You see, you can't see the shadowing. Mm-hmm. So what you'll do is you'll take the selected line work layer, you'll go to edit and go to convert brightness to opacity. And then it'll take pretty much any like bright colors. It'll take it all out. And then pretty much you'll just have the line work, which is something I wish I figured out in the beginning of all this. But yeah, that's the digital art struggle, but live and let learn.
And the whole thing is purple, which is what we're looking for.
Yeah. No, I saw this on a TikTok, and I'm just like, or not TikTok, I found it on Twitter, because they always retweet like little shortcuts, and I'm just like, are you kidding me? I wish I figured this out sooner. Anyways. So Yeah, that actually takes out any of the like stuff that you would. So and so that way, say if you were to like add like a clipping mask to it, you're actually able to like say if I want to make this red, I can just color over the line work without any like, I guess, repercussions. Hmm. So digital art, everybody.
I remember I watched a few of your Twitch coloring sessions, and it looked like you were putting like a certain color over all the background and a certain color over the characters.
Oh yeah. So
not knowing what you're doing, is that, I mean, is this part of this too, or?
Yeah, this is like one part of it. It's like getting started before I actually add the color. So it's kind of like adding a primer to a canvas, except we're not adding things, we're removing stuff. But anyway, so I think I know what you're talking about. So let me see if I can kind of give a good image. So like what you're thinking is, let's make this a bit of a brighter color first. So I think what you're thinking is sometimes I would like say add like a color that isn't like, say, for example, what this crow is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So there are two ways I do this. It really just, one, depends on my mood, and two, if like the program will work with me that day. But sometimes I'll just like color everything in, or I'll put like an outline in.
Yeah.
Like I'll put like an outline. And another thing that Clip Studio does is like really great is if I were to select the line work layer, there's this little thing said set as reference layer. So if you select the line work as a reference, and any other layer will refer to this one, and then you can just fill it in from there.
So
seeing from this, you can see why I don't do it this much. But yeah.
And what is the purpose of doing that? Is that is that to sort of negative space that, or you know, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, like in a way, yeah. Like it just gives me a good starting point to like pretty much just go from here, so I'm able to fill out what needs to be filled out for this specific layer. So the way I sort out my layers is for objects, they're their own thing, and then everything in the background is their own thing as well.
Okay.
Like, if that makes any sense. So for this layer,
this way?
Yes. Okay. So for this one, so all the objects, or say the character, or in this case, the characters, they would all be filled in here. Like they would all be filled in. I would just fill it all in, just like a quick little thing, just to give myself an idea of like where everything is. So same thing up there, this buddy here. And then I guess just to give me a good idea of like where everything is for this layer. I think that's everyone for now. And then that's when I go back into like a pen tool, and then I fill it, and then I fill it in like with more detail or like anything that the program missed.
Right.
And then what I would do is, so like, I'll do an example on this guy here. So say, well, I missed a lot, Jesus Christ. But yeah, so when you color it in, let's do this real quick. So let's just pretend that everything's filled in to its completed thing. So obviously the dog is not blue. So that's an obvious thing. I just put like in a color, so I'm just able to like actually see things. Because once I start adding like natural colors and stuff, sometimes the colors get a bit muddled. So that's just more for me. But anyways, what I do next is I actually refer to the color guide. For these characters, they're not on the color guide, but Rachel did send me like color swatches and everything too for each character. So let's go to. Yeah, let's go to this guy here. So what I would do is I'll do like one of two things depending on how detailed they are. So for this one, I'm going to go like the extra mile. So for this one, I would add all of the things I filled in here in a folder, and then I would add a layer on top of that and then clip it. So clipping a layer, like what I showed you earlier with the line work, basically means anything you color over top the layer you clipped will stay in that area. So that's pretty much what it means. So that means I'll take the color of the dog here and then just like, hello? I'll fill it in accordingly. So that'll be one, and then for the crow, same thing. Hello. Bear, same thing. They're probably the same color, just want to make sure. Doge, crow. Yeah, so it just goes on. It just goes on like that with like whatever's there, and obviously the same principle with like say any backgrounds. If you guys want a specific color scheme for those,
right? Okay.
So, yeah. So that's a way. So actually, I want to go into another page where like I'm like pretty much done. It looks like TLDR looks prettier. So where are you? That is not the folder. Hello. Power squared. There we are. Okay, here's a good one. So like, here's one that's pretty much done. So what I did here for this one is usually I would start off with, like, since I have the guide here for the shadows, I start off with the shadows first. So pretty much I initially just took it and then just I just took the shadowing and I pretty much, in a way, made it my own. So I followed the lighting guide of which, like, what you guys want. But in essence, I just made it like a bit like cleaner per se.
Okay.
So this would be the layer here. And then like according to the guide that you guys gave me, it's a certain blue color and it's set to 60% on multiply. So same principle. So all of these colors here, these are all the background colors, and I just put it all in the folder just to make it nice and tidy. And then same thing, you can clip a folder over top, and then I pretty much anything here is set in stone and staying in this folder.
Okay.
All right.
But yeah.
Wait. No. Okay.
But obviously the coloring progress is still here. This is before that Rachel gave me the color guide, because I didn't know like if it was fair game or. Or is an actual color guide, then she sends us on Discord. Oh, okay. This makes a lot more sense. Yeah.
So you get to, I mean, do you, you're sort of given a guide. I'm just sort of talking about this from your artistic.
What?
I lost my own train of thought. But I mean, you're given a color guide. And you get to add your own touches where in this?
Well, for this one, obviously, I followed the guide for Mocha here. So that's something that is, like, pretty much canon in the, like, with everything going on. So pretty much the one thing I played around with here are the browns and the greens of the forest here. Because, like, when I was looking at it, the main context I got was from the pages going, like, she's running away from these other yokai.
Right.
So I had to try to find, like, a good line between using enough bright colors, but also having some dark tones, too, before the shadowing. So it'll show, like, the scene of, like, she's running in a place where she can most likely get caught still. So, like, my brain term, like, spoopy time, but still pretty quaint. I cannot brain today, I am sorry. But yeah.
You heard me ask a silly question earlier, so go ahead.
What's up?
You heard me ask about, you know, something vague about artistic, so.
Yeah.
So it's all fair game, don't worry.
Yeah, I was like, how to sound professional in 2 minutes? How do I do that? But yeah, Like I said, going back at it, I just took the shadowing here, and then once I added the appropriate, like, I guess, settings that the prior artist gate like put,
mm-hmm.
Or I guess you guys get what I mean. I just play around with the colors from there. So, like, looking at this right now, it looks good. Like, it looks good, but, like, just the, I guess, like, the difference between, like, the dark leaves here over top for the trees and then just the bright grass here. I might change it a little bit depending, like, after I finish, like, all the pages, but that is to be determined.
Okay.
But for the most part, let's actually go back to page 7 real quick. So, that is... Yeah, so this is, like, another page that I did where, obviously, like, the effect, like, all of the, like, settings aren't set in stone yet, just yet. I just put, like, random colors just for me to see before I add, like, the natural colors or whatever you guys need for the page, so.
Right.
Like, any weird, like, psychedelic colors going on here, it's more of just, it's something for me to see before I start making it look like how it's supposed to be.
Because I remember when I was watching your Twitch things, I would take some screen grabs or whatever because I liked how they look psychedelic.
it goes from complete fiction to it's still fiction, but it makes sense. But yeah,
I mean, like, this looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh shoot! Hang on, I'm looking at chat. Hello, Richard. That's a friend of mine. I'm sorry. But yeah, let's see. So the way, like, let me show you a demo of, like, how I actually, like, color things in. Where is page 8 of... Oh, wait, it opened up page 8 already. Hello. So like, let's just, like, ignore the thing here. So going back to what I said earlier, this time around I do the shading and everything first because, like, it's there. So I might as well take care of it first before everything else. Because it's like, it's one, like, out of everything here, like, shading and lighting are one of the things that consume most of the process, of course, because, like, obviously you don't want everything just to be flats all the time.
Right.
So, hang on, let's just put everything there. So this is, so what I do is I have two different, like, shadow layers. One of them is for the objects and the other one is for the background and like anything in the foreground. So right now let's just focus on the shadows. So what I'll do is, like in the last one, I'll just take like a random color for now, because like I can always change it later. So what I'll do is I'll take the little blobs and stuff that Rachel put here, and then I'll just, like I said, like make him look a bit cleaner. So, and then obviously there's always a lot of Control Z, which is like edit undo.
Yeah.
A digital artist's best friend, but also their enemy. But yeah. Yeah, so, like, I'll just go from there, and it's like, this is the part where I'm just like, I don't really think about it too much. I just do whatever, and then if I look at it and it looks good, I move on. So let's dump here. And then obviously if there's any like imperfections, I'll just erase them. It's an effector eraser over here. That is not what I want. Okay.
So for those of you listening, we're watching her.
Yeah. But yeah, so like with anything, like as much as like adding the flats can also be time consuming depending on like the character. Rachel, if you're watching this, I saw that Siamese cat. No, I'm joking around. But yeah.
She did mention that last week.
Yeah, I saw this stream. I'm just like, I'm fine with this, but also I'll get to it when I get to it. it's like insert that meme of the dog in the fire just going, this is fine. But yeah, so like that, like, so that's one down. And then with this one, I do a combination of like a filling in, but also erasing, because obviously there's a thing. So when I have things like that, that's when I start putting the actual layer onto multiply already. So like once I fill this thing in already, it's actually, should be filled in. So I do a combination of just coloring and then using the fill tool because it's faster. Like, just there are some things that like give me headaches in digital art, but it's still like a bit, it's a bit more easier than obviously
coloring by hand.
They each have their pros and cons, but they still require effort and practice. So like there's something here, and then obviously there's some like light going on here because of the trees and everything. So like I'll just erase whatever I don't need here and go back to the pen tool and then just go from there. So here. So like on some parts, if anything, I try to add like a bit more of a fur effect than like the blotched up parts.
Alright.
Just to show like, yeah, this like just to show like the texture of a, like a dog or just like any other animal or like hair or whatever's there.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So like here and then hello. Sometimes it takes a couple tries because yeah.
Computers.
Oof. Computers are a blessing, but also a curse half the time.
Yeah.
Especially when you're building them, because then sometimes you don't know what you're doing. That's what happened to me the other day. Yeah. Like, I guess, like, while I'm doing this, so, like, I guess bringing up computers, I actually had to, like, change, like, some parts of my computer because it actually broke for a day.
Oh.
It's like, oh no, I have to get work done. So it was fine. I was gonna replace parts anyway, but just the timing of everything was just awful.
Yeah.
So like I actually did it on stream, and then it was kind of funny. One of my followers ended up downloading the manual for my motherboard, and they pretty much coaxed me through where to plug in everything.
Wow.
It's like I didn't know what to do. Ending of the story, my computer works now, obviously.
How long would you say it takes you to color a page?
It can take between, like, maybe, like, 2 to 3 hours, depending on, like, how detailed the picture is. Like, obviously, with this one, there's a lot of stuff going on, so
yeah.
It might take a bit three, and then also if, like, say, if I have to, it might be a little bit longer if, like, say, if, like a family needs me to help with something, and then sometimes I have to step away and.
What?
Yeah. That's family. Hey, you can't say no to grandma, okay?
Yeah,
that's
probably true, yeah.
She's 90. I can't do anything. No.
I'm busy, grandma.
I love her. Like, actually, she got herself a tablet recently for, like, Zoom calls for her church, and it's, like, It's nice, but also, like, if you wake me up at, like, 7 o'clock in the morning for a prayer thing, I might not. Yeah. I mean, I don't blame her. The pandemic's kind of driving all of us insane.
Yeah. Like, I've had more insomnia lately.
Yeah, I'm in that weird thing of, hey, cool, I fixed my schedule the next day. Oh no, the sun's going down again.
Yeah.
Good job, me. But yeah. Yeah, like me and my friends were like complaining the other day, it's like, oh my gosh, like for any locals out there, like if you guys have heard of the Neon Retro. It's basically like a retro arcade. Like you pay like an hourly rate. And they have like a bunch of arcade games. Like they have they have like the OG Metal Slug. They have the freaking Simpsons arcade game. Yeah. They have.
Are they open now?
I don't know. I mean, if they do, I'd be surprised because like that place is kind of crammed. It gives off the vibe of like your like best friend's like old like basement or something, yeah. And they have like the best stuff.
We went there for your guy's birthday last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Well, it was about an hour was about all I could take.
There's like a lot of games there.
Yeah. It was sort of like someone's basement.
Yeah. Like it's a nice aesthetic like for the gamer community.
Yeah.
That was fun to do.
Yeah.
But now all the games
we went there for like an hour. We went there for like an hour to chill and then we got food, but it was a fun time.
On the subject of coloring, are there things that are Are there things that are more difficult for you to color than other objects?
I would say the one challenge, actually, let me bring that up, was the one in issue 14. Let me see if I can bring that up real quick.
Oh,
it was the one where they found Professor Theorem's sister.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, it was one of those things, like, I wasn't, like, entirely, like, used to, like, full-on shadows. So this one was a bit of a challenge for me because, like, it's one of those things where the shadows are already there. However, I need to make it better. So that's, like, part of the comic. So one of them was, like, it was just trying to tackle both the actual colors and then some of the line work coincides with the colors. And I'm just like, how do I do this? So it took a lot of, like, going back and forth from here and then actually reading the comic again to see, like, oh, okay, it goes like this. Let's see if I can, like, put it into this comic. So it was a lot of going back and forth of looking at references and then seeing how I can do it personally, because there's more than one way to do something. It's just trying to figure out, like, how I would do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, like this is, like, my first, I guess, if I were to say, this would be, like, one of my first challenges with this, because, like, it was, like, a different way of, like, line work and shadowing and just everything just being muddled together. So it was a nice challenge, though, so it wasn't too bad. But, like, out of everything, that was probably one of them. I think another one was also just trying to find, like, a decent color scheme for this other diner or restaurant, whatever this place was. Because I was thinking in my head when I was, like, coloring this in, when they were meeting up with Dr. Atlas, I'm like, okay, so my first thought process was maybe make it darker than the actual, like, where they've been going prior because of the whole thing going on with, obviously, what his intentions were. So I tried to match it a bit with the room, so a bit more darker tones and, like, red, like, reddish colors are kind of, like, is one of the few color schemes that are met with, like, saying, like, evil and stuff like that. So yeah. I tried to keep that in consideration but still kept, like, the warmness of a restaurant, like, someplace you'd still want to go, you know.
Right.
That's so evil.
I brought evil.
For some people, that would probably be a, you know, hey, let's go there. It's evil.
Oh, God. I mean, that's an aesthetic. I mean, but yeah, like, I also tried to, like, I brought back, like, the old Olive Garden flashback. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm just like, Olive Garden, like, it's not evil, but it's warm colors, but it's also, like, it's everything in one.
It could be evil, trust me.
But yeah. To answer your question, it was probably this little pattern here. It's just, I just didn't know what to do, so I was just like, oh. I was like, oh, for, like, a good 2 minutes. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Actually, funny story. I think it was issue 13. I'm not gonna pull it up right now because I don't know how Twitch TOS is. One of the last couple of pages on that, when I read the script and then when I saw the pages, I was just like, "Oh yeah, I forgot that scene was there." It was the one with Eli and the girlfriend. Oh. I'm like, I don't know if I can stream this, so I'm just gonna. Yeah, I was looking at the last few pages I had to do. I'm just like, oh, I started remembering because I actually read the script prior. I'm just like, oh yeah, I forgot this scene was a thing.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I mean, it wasn't bad. It's just more of, can I stream this?
There's no nudity rule or anything. It's just...
Yeah, yeah. Though, like, I also know how Twitch can be, especially, like, with their weird rules, like, with either NSFW, DMCA. Throwing your cat, that's a different story for another day. Yeah. Oh, like, for anyone out there who doesn't know, like, the Twitch culture, I can't remember the name of her channel for the life of me, but this girl was getting a lot of crud because she threw her cat during a game, and obviously people got pissed by that. But, yeah.
Was that Alinity?
I think it was Alinity, yeah.
Why do I know this?
The same way you know melee culture, gaming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, why do I know melee culture? I have no idea. But yeah, I didn't know because, like, Twitch can be a bit weird with its rules, so I was just like, I'm just gonna do this one offline and then everything else should be okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. Be on the safe side.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's only so much I will post that is adult content on Twitch. This is not one of them. Yeah, like I have my, like I think I have like my Twitch set to 18 plus, so like, I mean, it should be fine, but either way, I'm just like, nah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think another, like another one was also just trying to find a good, like a good, like cross between having like a good enough shadow, but also like making sure the colors are there, especially for this last scene in issue 14, where they're like walking, I guess like they were walking back home and they were talking about everything that's happened, right. I guess that week or whatever, how long that was in that universe.
Yes.
And this is like, this is where like you guys are like pretty specific about like where the shadows were and which hand was whose, because I was looking at him just like before I saw the shadow, I was looking at going, I know whose hand is whose, but also what? And then I saw the coloring guy. I'm like, okay, this makes sense now. Cool. But yeah, so. But yeah, like for this one, what I did is, so let's take this off for a second. What I did was I grabbed the color guide and I just made everything as it was before. And then pretty much I would just add this little, if you guys can see it, this little orange layer here. So I put orange, then I set it to multiply, and then I just lowered it to like 50%. And then that, like, just that just made it like the day was going, like the day was almost over without really, like, yeah.
Walking into the sunset.
Yeah.
Into the movie. Yeah.
Let's save that just in case. Yeah. Oh yeah, quick digital art tip, always save your work in case there's a power outage.
Yeah, that's a good one.
No, a power outage just happened before I called, so I'm just like, uh-oh. I mean, I was fine because I was working on my iPad and I'm just like, I was having fun with it, but if I was working on my computer, I'm just like, oh no. But yeah, so going back to, where are you? But yeah, like going back to it, so like going, my brain is dead. So I'll just like, I'll take whatever like shadowing Rachel did, and then I'll just do a combo of just like doing what she did and also just adding what I think would be right as well. So yeah, so like say there's stuff here and then I just color in here and then I just erase whatever lighting is there. And then like once I do all of that and then I'll move on to the background, which like sometimes it's just adding a few lines, sometimes it's like filling up the entire box and then just erasing from there. It really depending on like what scene you guys drew out. So yeah. Each page is its own little thing. So like I guess going back to your other question of like how long does it usually take? Like on average it can take about 2 to 3 hours, but that can also change depending on like how much like other stuff in the background there is and like how action heavy that scene is, because sometimes I have to like use more than I guess like 10 brain cells half the time just to get something right. But hey, it is what it is. And then, like, obviously, like, I've done this a couple of times, like, I'll double check with you saying, like, hey, I know, like, Marty and Eli have their own, like, color schemes and everything, but are these outfits okay for, like, their color scheme? Is this something they'd wear? Because I think one of the, like, this may be a bit, I'm not sure if it was, like, a big deal, because, like, my brain was thinking something else, but, like, I think one of the ones that I did, I guess, that was on me, because I, like, looking back at the other issues, they've only really worn jeans. So it's just like, okay, I guess to add more to their wardrobe, that's when I had like Eli like wearing khakis at one point with the red top, and was like, this looks good, but I don't know if he would like wear this like in the like his like with his personality. I don't know if he would. That's why I double checked with you, going like, would you wear this color scheme?
Like, okay with it. I don't remember that exactly, but. Yeah, because I remember watching the Twitch and you'd ask me a question. I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, that was like the very first time, yeah. Because, like, I remember, like, I was like, oh, like, my brain was just basically Marty blue, Eli red. And then I just go from there. Yeah. Mocha, she's pretty much the same.
Yeah. I need to get her into something a little different at some point.
Yeah. Like, obviously, like, their outfits, like, they change. They're still human, but it's just like. Because I didn't know if you guys were like strictly like, oh, do they just wear jeans or do they wear like khakis or like the tan pants that I think I had Eli wear at one point.
I think the assumption is they probably wear jeans a lot, but they don't. That's not the only thing they would wear.
Yeah. All absence. Wait, what the? Oh, Kyle's here. Hi, Kyle.
Yes, hi, Kyle.
Oh yeah, hang on. What the? Hello. What is this? Yeah, I think one of them being like, I guess one appropriate thing I ended up doing, if I can find it. I'm not done with this one yet, but I guess like going back to the whole khaki thing, the one thing I assumed with this one is just like, okay, they're out like mostly in like in the outdoors all the time. So that's when I like started thinking like, okay, they would probably wear like something that isn't jeans in this scene.
Right.
I'm just like trying to think of like colors for this one. So yeah. But yeah, like I still have to do a, like, I guess while I have you guys here, do you guys have, like, a good idea of, like, what color you want the house? Or is it, like, just, I'll figure it out?
Yeah, I don't think we had a...
Okay, cool. No, I just need to know before I commit to something. I'll just be like, oh, okay.
No, I think it was just a house.
All right, cool. Yeah, I was looking at the, like, blue scale, like, the monochromatic. I'm just like, I know it's, like, at least this tone of a house. However, I'll figure it out, though. But yeah, for the most part, like, that's pretty much how I go. So this time around, I'll do, like, shadowing, and then I'll do the objects, like, say, like, the characters, and then everything else in the background is pretty much that. But for the most part, I've been, like, transitioning from different methods, because before, I used to, like, do, like, each layer would be its own panel, but then that started being, like, a bit, like tedious to me, so I started putting everything, like, all of the characters in one layer, and then it's just been, the one thing I've liked about this job is just finding ways to do things, like, I guess, more efficient. So it went from being a tedious doing each panel at a time to, oh, wait, I can actually just do, like, all of the objects or whatever in one layer, because I have to remember, too, with cell shading, you have an advantage. So one advantage is, like, at least for me personally, you can do things in less layers and then still have your sanity when trying to figure out where everything is. But pretty much. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah.
But we really do appreciate you taking the time. It was really cool.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to do it again sometime. All right. So until next week, I'm David Hankins.
And I'm Paul Hankins.
And this has been On the Air with Power Squared. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no problem.